Close Shaves in an Unfair World. Here's a journal entry I wrote in English class the week of Annette's accident. It was actually on topic, which would have been a nice change of pace for Miss Palma if I had let her read it. The assignment was, if you could pick one word in the English language to describe the universe, what would it be? Why? Here's my response. Unfair. 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 What do you call a planet where bad guys stroll through life with success draped around their shoulders like a king's cloak, while random horrors are visited upon the innocent heads of children? I call it Earth. You want examples? Just this week, my friend Annette, over there in the third row, by the way, was voluntarily taking groceries downstairs to her basement pantry. Now that right there is a meritorious feat. Most of my friends stopped doing volunteer household chores in about fourth grade. But wait, there's more. She went to step down the first stair and realized her cat was snuggled up there. Rather than trample on the innocent feline, Annette attempted to do a little leap over said animal while balancing about 47 cans of cat food in her arms. Now, this girl has a lot of God-given talents, but the grace of a ballerina is not one of them. So she lost her footing and tumbled down the steps amid a clanking of metallic hail of small cans. And when her parents responded to her pitiful yelps of pain, A, her mom stepped right on that darn cat anyway, and B, they found Annette's crumpled form at the foot of the stairs, head stuck to a pile of shopping bags by static cling, right arm twisted unnaturally into some sort of mathematically improbable three-dimensional rhombus shape. And Annette's right hand is pretty important, because the girl is a piano prodigy. Okay, was a piano prodigy. Thanks, God. But wait, there's still more. My little brother Jeffrey. You know, the one that used to be a happy, healthy, normal kid until he was struck out of the blue by cancer, was making a semi-rare appearance in his kindergarten class yesterday. He's been absent quite a bit this year, what with the constant trips to the hospital to try and save his life and the total shutdown of his immune system and the frequent bouts of high fever and all. Anyhow, a new kid moved into class and he didn't know about Jeffrey's condition. So Jeffrey went up to him and said, "Hi, I'm Jeffrey. I'm 5. Are you 5? My brother is 13. Do you want to be friends?" And the new guy replied, "Hi, I'm Adam. You're bald." I know it sounds weird. Jeffrey has certainly noticed the total lack of hair coverage on his head, but hearing it from another kid devastated him. Evidently, he had thought other people somehow couldn't tell he was bald or something. Whatever. When this one kid said, "You're bald," Jeffrey just burst out crying. He barely spoke all night at home, and at about 10 p.m., 2 hours after his bedtime, I walked by his bedroom and heard him sobbing in his bed. I asked him what was wrong, and he told me about the incident at school. Then I asked him why he hadn't told us earlier what was wrong, and he said the saddest thing. "I didn't want you to find out I was bald, too." So now, my baby brother, who has leukemia, has the added curse of self-conscious humiliation, too. Unfair, unfair. Unfair. Really. If that were the only word in the English language, the only word in all the world, the sum and total of all human expression across the long millennia, it would essentially cover all the bases. Everything else we say is pretty much irrelevant. Maybe if Miss Palma had been allowed to read the journal entry, she would have understood why I shaved my entire head the next night. I was standing in the bathroom, getting ready for bed, and this little Gap Kid's baseball hat was sitting on the ledge by the sink. I was thinking about how Jeffrey had worn the hat everywhere he went that day. And I was wondering whether he'd be keeping it on his head every minute for months just because of one innocent comment some kid had made. And I was thinking, who cares whether the little rugrat meant to hurt Jeffrey? He did, and now there's no way to take it back. But then I heard Mrs. Galley's voice saying, "Instead of agonizing about the things you can't change, why don't you try working on the things you can change?" And I realized that, no, I couldn't grow Jeffrey's hair back overnight like he was some kind of mammalian chia pet, and no, I couldn't retroactively so shut the mouth of the new kid who had unintentionally broken the news to my brother. But I could show support for Jeffrey. I could be bald, too. I took out my dad's electric clipper and buzzed off my whole head of hair to shorter and shorter lengths until I thought it would be easy to shave with an electric razor. Then I started in on the actual shaving portion of the festivities.